Okay, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Can we please rise? Where's the flag? We'll just pretend the flag's up there. Okay, follow. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, Rob, I'll turn it over to you for...
Do a brief roll call here. Director Zimmer?
Here.
Director Garfinkel?
Here.
Director Gibson? Absent today. And Chairperson Ohelski?
Present. Since I just got here, do you want to move down the agenda?
Sure. The agenda is short. This is a meeting focused on the annual report, but we do have an item for board member comments if there are any comments from the board.
No comments from me.
Nope.
Great. And then we have
I should point out Supervisor Gibson and Mark send their regrets for not being able to attend today. So Bruce is tied up at APCD. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Today we want to cover as our sole action item the 2016 annual report, the draft that's been issued. A couple things to keep in mind as I walk through some of the key elements of the report and a presentation. Number one is that we are always looking backwards here, 6 months in arrears when we cover an annual report. So it can be a little bit frustrating for the public when we're talking about conditions that no longer exist because now we're in June of 2017. So I always reserve the last slide to give you sort of a current update in case you weren't at the last meeting. But all of this relates to 2016. So when you see the rainfall numbers that are a little below average, it's because it doesn't cover what happened January through March of this year. In terms of the process that the board would, or the committee would go through today, we would like to, if possible, have the committee adopt the annual report, this draft, with specific comments that you want to see incorporated for the final. We've received some editorial comments from your staffs already that we can incorporate, nothing substantive that isn't in this draft. But if there are other things that you see, we could certainly cover it. What we didn't want to do, though, is force that too aggressively. If you do want to see this again and have it come back to you, we could look at calendars at the end and schedule a special meeting like we did last year for the last week in June, about 2 weeks hence. So that's sort of what we're looking for, and I'll dive into the presentation. If you have a question on a specific slide, feel free to stop me if you want to talk about that at that time, or you can wait until the end, and then we'll take public comment after the presentation and the committee discussion. Like last year, this format follows a lot of what we talked about last year, so we begin comparing year to year. Wanted to highlight the upper aquifer monitoring wells as well as the lower aquifer, so you can see the spread of wells that are located within the community. This is the upper aquifer, and I'll show you a cross-section here in a second if you're a member of the public and unfamiliar. And those are the aquifer zones that here on the west side generally are 200 to 300 feet from the ground surface. So these are relatively shallow wells, and this is the same zone that the county is currently sending the treated wastewater into. Oh, sorry about that. I'll take questions at the end, though I've got that one. The colors represent whether the wells are for water level only or whether there are some wells that we're actually taking physical samples from. And the report is published in its entirety online. This is an overview, and it's well worth a read if you're interested in water in Los Osos. It's not that long. We have a extensive network of lower aquifer monitoring wells, including even wells that go out to the sand spit. One of the things that I did want to point out, and let's see if you can all see my mouse as it's... There it is. This area here, this orange dot, is the monitoring well that we want to construct in the Cuesta by the Sea area. So there is no monitoring well there, and you've heard that in discussion previously, and we do need one there, and that would be a multi-layer well that would cover all of our key aquifer zones. Okay. About $100,000 to $150,000 well. The basin in cross-section encompasses three major layers, not including what we call the very shallow perched zone, which is zones A and B near the very middle of the screen. Zone C in the light blue is our upper aquifer. Again, that's the zone that we have a number of wells that produce from it. They're generally high in nitrate, and so we don't have a lot of production from that zone, and the county is currently discharging all of its treated wastewater into that zone. There's a clay then that is at the bottom of zone C, and then you see our two lower aquifer zones, zones D and E, and most of our wells are screened in zone D, the light green zone. We have one purveyor production well that's still screened in zone E, the Los Olivos well. Go ahead, Bill.
Could you just go back one slide for a moment?
Sure.
Must have misread something. Doesn't that... Okay, that's lower aquifer wells.
Lower aquifer, yeah.
So that's the one that we propose to do as a lower aquifer?
Well, it's... Well? A monitoring well can cover multiple zones. So what you'll do is you'll have a nested monitoring well where you poke several holes right in the same casing if you need
right,
to.
Yeah.
And it will be screened within the interval that you're interested in. So literally, you could take discrete samples from different casings within the same well.
Okay, so we can get upper aquifer information from that one well.
Yeah, and in fact, you'd get both zones D and E separately in that one monitoring well.
Thank you.
Sure. That's a good question. One thing to note about the zone D and E here in this, and I'll see if I can get my cursor back. Oops, boy, I messed that up. There it is. If you see here, this is Los Osos Creek, which we call the alluvium. And we've been talking about creek discharge, and it's because this area of the alluvium is in direct communication with Zone D, as you can see here. You can also see that the ag wells over here on the extreme east side have a lot less aquifer to tap into than we do here in the central portion of the community. This is a slide that covers the amount of groundwater production that's happening in the entire basin. I want to remind the committee and the community that only about half of the production within the Los Osos groundwater basin is currently metered, and that's the purveyor production, the entities that you have sitting here. The rest of it is estimated based on things like cropping patterns in the ag areas and land use type for folks that own the private domestic wells. So one of the discussion items ongoing is at what point would metering be appropriate for the entire basin and all the extraction points. You can see on the right hand of this chart that in 2016 we produced significantly less than what happened in the average of 2011 to 2015, and it's well off the historical highs that happened in the 1990s. This production chart only focuses on the westerly area of the basin, and you can see that we still produce a significant amount of water, I would say, here on this side of the community, which would be from the library west. A significant amount of production occurs within the central area, generally the Baywood area. This is all covered in tabular form in the written report, if you're interested in the exact numbers. Rainfall. So a lot of the rainfall that we received in this good, strong year occurred in January through March of 2017. 2016 was decent, and I won't make you strain your eyes too excessively, but here at the bottom of the chart, you can see the annual average at the Morro Bay Fire Station, about 16 inches. It's a little more in the Los Osos landfill. We almost came up to average through the end of last calendar year. It was close. This chart on top is called the cumulative departure from the mean. very unhelpful to most people who are looking at it, but it is important for the groundwater hydrologists. And what it does is it tracks year over year whether there's a tendency to be below average rainfall or a tendency to be above average. And as the graph slopes in an upward direction, as you see between 1990 and 2000, you see that sharp rise. That means that it's wetter than average year over year as that graph is heading in an upward direction. When it heads in a downward direction, that means it's drier than average. And so when you're sitting right at zero, which is where we're at now, that means over the whole period that this is being tracked, we are running about average on the rainfall, with the last 5 years, of course, being well below average. And you'll see this next year when we talk about 2017 head in an upward direction to reflect the rainfall that occurred here this winter and spring. Bill.
Over what period of time is it averaged?
It's only averaged over 1960 to
current. I mean, each year, it's a moving average each year. Is that correct? They take in the current year, and then they drop off an earlier year?
Well, no. It's actually a cumulative average as opposed to a moving average. So that you take the results for the current year,
right,
and you adjust the graph. Each data point there reflects the current year's actual rainfall. Thank you for that. So it's not like the five-year moving average that you see in other graphs. It's actually changes with each data point each year.
Okay, thank you.
It's more of a volumetric total, kind of the area under the curve type of thing.
Okay.
If you're into calculus. One of the key summaries that are going to be in each annual report is what we call water level contours. And I won't belabor these, but for those of you who are interested in the detail, these contours, unlike what you might be aware of when you look at a topographic map that show the elevation of the ground surface, these show the elevation of the water that's in the ground. That's an absolute elevation as measured from sea level. So when you see 60s, 70s, 80s, it means they're 60, 70 feet above sea level. This gourd-shaped area within the central part of the community is what we call our perched aquifer. That's not an aquifer that we produce from. It's very shallow, and water levels are often within 10 feet of the ground surface in these areas. It's because there is a clay layer that sits right underneath these perch conditions. And so when you had your septic system connected, the water wasn't necessarily going down into the groundwater basin. It could have been moving laterally and eventually poking out in the bay, but that's our perched aquifer. Not very helpful for analyzing water supply. Then we get into the spring and fall results of the upper aquifer, and this is more interesting. So a couple of the features here. Number one, you'll see that there are some numbers that are getting relatively close to sea level. You see tens, you see a five out there in the bay. And currently, these are conditions that will not allow seawater intrusion. So in our upper aquifer, there's currently no seawater intrusion risk. But in future years, if you see these numbers drop to sea level and below, that's when you're at risk for seawater intrusion. But our upper aquifer today is challenged with respect to nitrate, but not seawater. And I also plotted fall, or Cleith plotted fall, and I'll go ahead and change from spring to fall. And you'll see the numbers drop somewhat. I'll just do that again. Spring, fall, but they didn't change all that appreciably in the upper aquifer. And so there is, to some extent, water supply available in that upper zone. However, I do want to note that when you track over the recent rainfall period, we are declining in the upper aquifer slowly, a little less than a foot a year. And so this is a trend that we need to watch. In fact, later on in the presentation, we have a new metric we'd like to begin tracking for the 2017 annual report, an upper aquifer water level metric. This is our lower aquifer, and it's not a pretty sight. It's hard to see there on the screen. It's clearer in the written report, but there are areas that are below sea level in our lower aquifer. and that is why we have active seawater intrusion. So you see the zero contour there on the bay fringe, and then inland of that you see up to a minus 10 contour, meaning we're pumping from below sea level in the lower aquifer, and that's what generates the seawater intrusion potential. As you go from spring to fall, fall is always our worst case. You see the water levels deepen, and again, we're well below sea level. Now, water levels in the lower aquifer are recovering. You'll see a slide later that depicts that. But until we see those holes filled in and conditions restored near the coastline, we'll continue to see seawater intrusion continue. This is a chart that shows the seawater front tracked over time. The projector sort of washed out 2005, so I'll try to point it out with my cursor here. If I can get that, there it is. So in 2005, the seawater line was somewhere, as a faint green line showed up great in my hard copy, not so well here on the screen. The seawater front in 2015 was this first dashed line, and then we saw in the midst of the drought about 350 feet of advance in the last 12 months here to this line. Now, at the end of the presentation, you'll see that seawater did retreat a little bit in response to rainfall this spring, but this, of course, is an ongoing trend that is the reason, one of the primary reasons that this committee exists. And you'll see some of the key wells that we're monitoring. This well in the middle, this 389 here, is one of the production wells within the community that very closely tracks the seawater front. So in the spring, when things get better, you'll see seawater retreat a little bit, chlorides go down. But for this data point, chlorides were up. And this is another one that is near the bay fringe. And this is a well that in 2005 was relatively fresh. There was no seawater intrusion in this well. And we see advancing chlorides, just the first hint of seawater intrusion occurring at this well. So this is one of those, I guess you could call it a sentinel well, that when we start to see chlorides here, it's very concerning. And so we do see the beginning of seawater intrusion at that well. The front is advancing over a broad portion. This is a series of tables which I find it very difficult to explain in a way that can be generally understood, but I know it's of broad community interest, and so I'll take a shot at it. We are tracking how much water is in storage within our various aquifer zones, A through E. And there are two numbers that are reported. One is the total amount of storage, both above and below sea level, and then the amount of storage which is just above sea level. And so those numbers are tabulated every annual report. And in the bottom chart, we're just looking at the change that occurred in the one-year period from the spring of 2015 to the spring of 2016. And you can see for the various aquifer zones, we did lose some storage, and we seek to gain some of that back here in 2017 due to rainfall, but we did lose some storage. The one thing I wanted to caution folks is that the natural first reaction is to take these numbers and begin to think that this is like a fixed reservoir, that's all you have left. But of course, it's a dynamic reservoir affected every year by rainfall and by recharge, by other flows that occur, such as return flows from Los Osos Creek or return of recycled water, and it's impacted by seawater intrusion as well. So it's a dynamic thing, so resist the urge to just pick up your calculator and consider it as a fixed reservoir that doesn't change. We do have a number of metrics that we track, and it's a key conclusion within the annual report. And the first is called the basin yield metric, which is an important measure, but one that can be easily misunderstood. And really what this metric is, it's a measure of how our current production compares to the production that's sustainable. And at a value of 100, theoretically, our production would just perfectly match the amount of yield or water that can be safely produced from the basin. Our goal is to always remain at or below 80, so we want to have a safety factor there. But particularly for those of you who have been watching this metric over time, wanted to make sure everybody's clear that for this metric to be successful, the wells that make it up in the water model have to match what we actually produce. In other words, just because we could say, hey, we can safely produce 2,000 acre-feet from this basin, if we turn up all our westerly lower aquifer wells and generate all our water from those wells, this metric will not work. It has to be matched up to our actual production from what the model was predicting. So we have an example of this here in this chart. And this is a chart that basically shows where we're producing our water from and how much we're producing in total. So on the left-hand side, we have our production for 2016, almost 2,200 acre-feet. And I'll get my cursor back here. Hold on. And then you see this broken up into geographically the western area of the community, central and eastern. And anything that's in lime green below this line is from our lower aquifer. Anything above the line is from either the upper aquifer or alluvial aquifer. So, and then on the right, you see a comparison that once we accomplish our basin plan projects that are currently either in construction or in planning, this is how much we expect to produce from these various zones when we have a safe yield of 2,200 acre-feet. So the key takeaway is this. Look on the west side and look at the lower aquifer. Here, this big lime green bar, and compare that to where we're going when we finish our infrastructure projects. Very little production needs to be from that west side lower aquifer. So to be producing this much is not sustainable. And so this is one of the things that the purveyors, as they bring on their Program A projects, they're looking to shift away from those westerly wells, which for the Los Osos CSD would be our library well or the Palisades well, and minimize production in that western lower aquifer. Because as long as we're pumping from there, it doesn't matter what the basin yield metric is, we're going to continue to induce seawater intrusion. In fact, in 2016, we produced more from that aquifer, about 100 acre-feet more than we did in 2015, because you know the district lost one of its key well assets due to Chrome 6 and one of its upper aquifer wells, and so that affected where our production came from. Hopefully that will be at least partially rectified in 2017. This is a chart that shows the various metrics over time, and we'll show a little snapshot of what happened in spring of 2017. A couple of things to note in this chart. In the red, we have what we call our chloride metric, and that is a measure of the chloride levels that are in several key wells, one well being weighted double, the other is the one that sits right on the front. And so this metric is intended to be very sensitive to seawater intrusion. And in fact, we see that this spring in another chart I'll show you. As seawater retreats, this metric will quickly drop. As it advances, it will very quickly increase. And that's what we saw in 2016. We saw a pretty dramatic increase in the chloride metric. Oops, sorry about that. Boy. Just sensitive. We saw a dramatic increase in the chloride metric over there on the right side, increasing about 40 parts per million. And on the blue scale is the water level metric, and that has nothing to do with water quality. It is an average of the water levels within the lower aquifer. And so over time, we actually see that water level going up, which is what we want. The chloride metric we want to see go down to the chloride metric target of 100, that horizontal red line you see in the middle of the screen. The water level metric, we want to see that go up all the way to the target level of 8 feet, which you see on the blue horizontal line at the top of the screen. So I know it can be a bit confusing if it's your first time looking at this, but this is a key chart you'll see tracked over the years. And generally, if we hit our water level target of 8, we should see chloride respond and begin to go down towards that chloride metric. So the fact that the lower aquifer is slowly recovering is one piece of positive news in a sea of very negative news with respect to chlorides. This is a metric that is intended to track the nitrate levels in the upper aquifer. And these are data points that are averages of our nitrate wells that we're monitoring on an annual basis. So the horizontal dashed line at 10 milligrams per liter is the drinking water standard. That's where we want to get. And the two horizontal bars, a green bar and a blue bar, are the five-year averages over two key periods of interest. So the current average is over twice the drinking water level. And so as the wastewater project is now 80% online, 85% online, and as nitrate is stripped out of the water and returned to this upper aquifer, we should see a trend that could take a long period of time, could take decades, but we should see a trend of response in these nitrate levels coming down. And so there's been some model predictions as to how quickly that will happen, but you'll see actual results as this gets reported out in the various annual reports. On to some of the recommendations. One is to continue to improve the technical accuracy of our data. And one of the ways that we would do that is to take some of the wells that we're monitoring, and instead of using some general topographic information to assess their elevation, actually hire a licensed surveyor to determine that elevation, and also to do some sensitivity analysis in the way we calculate storage. And so we've got a budget of about $10,000 on some of our technical improvement efforts. And that's something if we get later in the year and it looks like our contingency funds within the Basin Management Committee's budget are going to be still whole and not spent, we might consider moving forward on some of these technical recommendations, because I'd say they have a generally modest budget attached to them and they will benefit our technical understanding. The other is to drill a new monitoring well in Cuesta by the Sea. And you can see that as the orange dot there labeled UAP or proposed. And that's, again, upper aquifer and lower aquifer at that location. And this is, again, as we get later into the year, if the committee decides not to move forward on a special tax measure, that perhaps some of those dollars could be diverted to pursuing a monitoring well in this location. We did attempt one back in the mid-2000s, but the well was unable to be completed due to a collapsed boring hole. The other recommendation is that we implement an upper aquifer water level metric. Again, we see a downward trend that could be a response to rainfall, but now we want to track it more actively and actually begin plotting an upper aquifer metric. As the district and Golden State both look to produce more water from the upper aquifer, one of the questions will be is what's the response that aquifer is going to have to that additional production? The CSD is bringing on its 8th Street upper well at some point in this year. Golden State will be producing more from its Skyline well as it brings on nitrate removal. So how will the aquifer respond on the west side? So this metric will help us track that and maintain conditions that are safe from a seawater intrusion perspective. So the current recommendation is to monitor upper aquifer wells 3, 4, and 5. You can see them there on the chart. And perhaps if we do get a completed monitoring well, then Cuesta by the Sea, we'd add that to the list. But we look at those coastal-oriented upper aquifer wells as a way of monitoring key water levels and putting a metric together for 2017. Other recommendations, of course, to complete our basin plan infrastructure programs as soon as possible. I'm going to let you all contemplate that while I take a drink here. I can announce that the CSD took a positive step this last week in this vein by adopting a pretty healthy rate increase to be ready to fund its capital share in total for program C and ANC. And so in looking at making sure we have good financial coverage in case the special tax isn't pursued, the CSD's made that rate adjustment. We also need to minimize pumping on our west side lower aquifer, which actually increased in 2016 compared to 2015. And that means bringing on those sources of supply like the district's 8th Street Upper Well, Golden State's Sunnyside, or help me out there.
Los Olivos 5.
Yes, Los Olivos 5. To minimize the production here in the west side lower aquifer. Need to continue aggressive conservation, and as we announced at our last meeting, the county has an item that's going to be going before the Board of Supervisors here shortly to increase and continue our rebate program for indoor water use, and then continue to optimize the use of recycled water, and that means getting the schools hooked up, which has not occurred yet, and considering other creative ways to use recycled water, whether that would be creek discharge or other methods. And then this is not in or a part of the 2016 annual report, but just so we give you a brief snapshot like we did last meeting, this is from spring of this year where we did see chloride levels drop there. You can see in the red on the right side of the curve, we saw a drop. And because these wells are right there on the fringe, don't make any conclusionary statements with respect to this, because it could shoot right back up here in the fall. So it will go up and down in response to production and rainfall, but we did see in response to the significant amount of rain and the reduced production, we did see a drop in chloride levels there on our west side. That concludes my presentation. Perhaps we could start with committee comments before we go to public comment. Question.
Before we go to public comment, do we have any questions?
No.
Not really a question. I just wanted to point out, you mentioned the 8th Street well from the district. Also, the Rosina well from Golden State. During 2016, we did increase the pumping from that, probably in the same fashion that the district did, just operation challenges from Skyline Well. And one of the main, or just a contributing factor for us, bringing on Los Olivos 5. And so actually today we started pumping Los Olivos 5, coincidentally. So it's not in an automated mode right now, but it's in a manual, and we're putting water from that well into our tank today. So it's a big day for us, and we're happy to have that happening.
So I can announce it today.
Yes.
There you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Okay, so seeing no questions, we'll go to public comment on this item. No public comment?
Oh, I'm sure there'll be some. Maybe I'll put the list of wells up there in case someone wants to refer to it.
Name is Steve Best. Do I have a limit on my time?
3 minutes, yes.
I need more than 3 minutes.
You have 3 minutes. You can submit written comments if you'd like to, but
I'm requesting more than 3 minutes.
You have 3 minutes. You've already spent time, so...
I'm disappointed.
Thank you. Any other comments?
This is the problem. This
is not a problem. Okay, we'll bring it back then. So,
no further comments?
I have some comments. I think that what this does, pardon me, I think that the clarification you made, Rob, that this is a calendar year, we've talked about that before, that it's a calendar year and not a rainy season projection. We talked about that a lot in the past, and I think that's a good clarification to be made because we all appreciate it, and I'm not going to pat
bell in the back again, but we did appreciate that. But I think that that's kind of where it's out of sync a little bit, because it doesn't take the rainy season as a full entity into account. But I think, you know, I read through this whole thing a couple of times, because I have to tell you, I fell asleep a couple of times when I was reading it. But I think it does fulfill the requirements of the court, and what we're doing here is we're providing the report that's required by the court on an annual basis. So I think it does fulfill the requirements of the court, and I know that I think that Golden State, and I know that the attorneys all agree with that. So I think it doesn't obligate us to do anything or not to do anything, but it's really an update, or pardon me, anything above and beyond what's already in the Basin Management Plan. But I think as our annual report to the court, it fulfills all the requirements of that. So I think you did a good job on it. So
I would like just to comment on that. Same thing. I think I read through the report twice.
You beat me one time.
Make sure I got it all. But there's a lot of information in there, and I want to thank Cleith Harrison for the excellent job they did in detailing the information that was in that. It certainly helped me. Now we start a trend. We have two annual reports, and we can compare those as we go along as to showing where we are improving or where we are not improving. And I guess the only other part of it would be we somehow have to hope that our annual reports get used by the county as they start to finish up the Los Osos community plan. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think just a couple of other things now that you brought those to my attention. I think some of the things, not only for the community plan, but also for the fringe area, which we've talked about, is not included in our plan because it's a fringe plan. I think that's some of the things that the county needs to consider as they move forward with what they're going to do with the fringe area. And I know hopefully someday that will be included in the basin, but at the current time, it's not a short-term thing. And I think the other thing, just for the public's benefit, us looking at pursuing those additional monitoring wells, I think will provide us better data in the future, too. So I don't know if you want to just talk about the additional monitoring wells that we've been talking about, just for everybody's edification.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's shown there as, again, the orange dot labeled LAP in the Cuesta by the Sea area, and that would be somewhere in the $100,000 to $150,000 range of an expenditure to have a multiple zone monitoring well in that key area where really conditions are unknown. It's an extrapolation to think we know what's happening in that area. So I think it's a key piece of technical work. We have applied for grant funding for that well. Grant funding's very competitive these days. And so if you have other items that don't come to fruition in your budget, you may consider bringing that forward. It wouldn't take long to commission it and get it done, maybe 6 months or so if once you said go.
How deep do you think that well has to be?
I have an expert in the room here. Spencer's here. Perhaps 600.
Thank you.
So what do we want to do at this point? Do we want to move this forward? Do we want to take another look at it? Or what do you all want to do at this point?
I would make the motion that we accept the annual report as written. And again, congratulations to Cleith Harris.
And just for the motion maker, we do have a few editorial comments from Golden State staff that we'd like to take care of. None of them are substantive, just references and so forth. If we could include those in the motion, that'd be great.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, of course it makes sense to you. You're Golden State.
That makes sense to me. So do you include that in that?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Right. I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Nope.
No? Okay. You want to take a roll call here around, please?
Yes, Director Garfinkel.
Yes.
Director Zimmer.
Yes.
Chairperson Olhelski.
Yes. Okay, again, I appreciate all the hard work that's gone into this. Again, this is just a snapshot in time, and I hope everybody understands that. So I'm trying to pull up my agenda here.
And I think we're ready just for public comment as the last item on the agenda.
That item's not on the agenda, right? Okay, so we have public comments for items that were not on today's agenda, and then we will adjourn.
Sorry, I didn't
That's okay.
I just wanted to ask if there is any more clarification about when maybe there'll be monitors put on the wells on the eastern side, because we can plan as much as we want here, but right. I'm sure that the water level is affected also by their wells.
Right. Thank you. Anybody else? Oh. Yep. Up. Oh. Two.
Yeah. Sorry, I probably don't have that great of an understanding.
Could you just state your name for the record, please, and where you live?
Sorry? Yeah, sorry. I'm Stuart Suplick. I live in San Luis Obispo. I'm a student at Cal Poly. I'm just interested in the whole management process right now. And I had one question. You mentioned in a couple of slides further on that we plan to shift away from the western side for the lower aquifer, right? I was just curious if there's any risk for essentially shifting that yield to what looks like the central lower aquifer at all. If there's any risk, because that seemed to increase and if you go forward a few slides. So
thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Items not on the agenda.
Steve Best of Los Osos. I wanted to make a proposal for a plan that would take water from the saltwater intrusion area of the aquifer and use it for a saltwater pool that would be taking as much as one acre feet to 2 acre feet of water and using it for a saltwater pool. That would help reduce the saltwater intrusion. It would also produce a water for a pool for Los Osos that would reduce maintenance cost for a pool for Los Osos and do a dual function of reducing the saltwater intrusion. Plans that could be utilized to replace the water to the aquifer that would increase the ability to control the saltwater intrusion, as well as provide a low-cost maintenance for a pool, as well as possibly a pond that could be utilized as part of a recreational area for such as a dog park. It could be a very advantageous recreational facility for both people, but a health facility. It could be a very lucrative retail facility because it wouldn't be just a pool facility. It could be a very inviting health facility because it would be a saltwater pool. It would be a facility that would be heated environmentally. It would be a facility that would be have restaurant, coffee shops, stores where you could buy bathing facilities and swimming clothes, things like that. Stores, a place where people could meet and relax and enjoy. There's a health facility. Can be a real meeting place, a real draw from outside the community, as well as provide a real real a centerpiece for a community and a an environmentally showpiece for this town. And again, it could be something that would also provide a way of being able to an active control on the aquifer, not just a passive control on the aquifer, waiting for what's happening with the environment and the rainfall. So that you would have the ability to be able to control where the water returns back to the aquifer, whether you want to put it in the westerly end of the eastern side of the aquifer, back through the ground, back through the wastewater treatment, or back through the bay. There's a number of different ways you can control that, but you can pull out as much as a 1 to 2 acre feet of water, which is 1/6 to 15 to 25% of the current usage of the water out of the aquifer that we are currently drawing out of the aquifer. So that's a substantial balance of what we are currently using. It's a very viable. I've talked with a number of different people about this, and it has some huge potential.
Okay. So, thank you, Steve.
People need to start thinking outside the box. This is a triple win-win-win opportunity for Los Osos, and people, you know, start thinking positively about opportunities
and
not just shut down. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none. So I'm going to respond to the first question, unless you want to. The monitoring of the wells are under the jurisdiction of the county, so Supervisor Gibson nor Mark Hutchinson are not here, but that's something that the Basin Management Committee and the purveyors have been stressing, to have monitoring of all the wells. So if you're interested in that, you need to communicate directly to Supervisor Gibson. I don't know if you have anything to add to that. I think I was pretty clear on that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And then the idea of the saltwater pool, if you want to look at that as a potential mitigation measure, I think that's something you can bring back to us in the future.
Great.
I don't know if you had anything else to add to those.
Just one question from Stuart, I think it was, as to whether there was a risk of shifting inland. And I think the lower aquifer, there is risk. And the reason that we have measured metrics is so that we don't simply rely upon modeled assumptions, and we see how the aquifer actually responds. And so as the Golden State brings on their program C-Well, as the district brings on their new wells, we're going to be tracking the actual aquifer response, calibrating our understanding in the model to make sure it matches reality. So yes, I mean, risk is a reality in this basin when you're sitting right on the coast. So I think that the answer is yes.
Okay. Any other? Nope. All right. So then we'll go ahead and adjourn to our next meeting, which will be on July. I'm trying to figure this out.
Third Wednesday in July.
5, 6, 13, the 20th. Is that correct?
No, it will be the 19th.
Oh, sorry. I was off one day.
And that'll be a regular meeting with your full agenda.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Thank you,
everybody. Bye.